Well, I've heard several people saying, oh, what are we going to do? All our praise team, they're all going off to college, and what are we going to do? Well, look up here this morning, and you see what we're going to do. We just got some youngins coming on up. We don't have to do anything. God does it. God started this group years ago. It's one of the blessings, if a blessing happened, and it did, with Miss Ricky passing away. They came along, and they've been a blessing to us, and Amy. And, I mean, God is just so good, and He is. And I hope we'll always remember that. You know, remember that. James Calvert was a missionary to the cannibals on the Fiji Islands in the Pacific. And he was there for years and years, and his work finally bore fruit. And those who had been accustomed to killing people and eating them came to know the Lord. Well, years later, 10, 15 years later, this English nobleman, an earl, was visiting, and he was talking to the chief. And here's what he said. He was critical of the chief because he had become a Christian. And he said, you're a great leader, but it's a pity you've been taken in by these foreign missionaries. No one believes the Bible anymore. People are tired of the threadbare story of Christ dying on a cross for the sins of mankind. They know better now. I'm sorry you've been so foolish as to accept their story. And the old chief kind of had a little gleam in his eye, and he responded, and he said, see that great rock over there? On it we used to smash the heads of our victims. You notice the furnace next to it? In that oven we formerly roasted the bodies of our enemies. If it hadn't been for those good missionaries and the love of Jesus that changed us from cannibals into Christians, you would never leave this place. You better thank the Lord for the gospel, otherwise we'd already be feasting on you. If it weren't for the Bible and its salvation message, you'd now be our supper. And folks, we need to remember and think about that. So many people, even who are non-Christians, take so lightly what Jesus did on the cross. But what He did on the cross has benefited not just only those who have come to know Him, but the entire world, because it changed the world from a horrid, sinful place into a place that now has light. And we don't want to be like this modern British earl who had forgotten what was really important. Guys, write this down. We are here to remember the truth this morning. And the reason we have the Lord's Supper is pretty simple, really. You know, when I was a boy and my daddy came in and he said, we're going to do this, you know what we did? Whatever it was. You know, because he said, that's what we're going to do. And we didn't argue a lot about it. We just did what Daddy said we were going to do. The reason we have the Lord's Supper is because Jesus told us to have it. He told us to have it. It's an ordinance. Ordinance means He ordered us or told us to do it. And why did He tell us? Well, it's not our text. This is in our text, but in Luke 22:19, He says, do this in remembrance of Me. And this morning, as we follow Jesus' orders in remembering Him, I want us to go to 1 Corinthians 11 and think about three things. So look at 1 Corinthians 11. We'll begin reading verse 23. A very, very familiar passage of Scripture. It says, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, take and eat, this is My body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me. And after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would help us to take this very familiar passage of Scripture and think about some things this morning as we are following your orders to remember your Son, Jesus, and what he did for us on the cross of Calvary. We ask for your Holy Spirit to give us the power we need to understand your word. We pray that in Jesus' in the holy name. Amen. First of all, I want us to think about, write this down, kids, the reason for the supper. And if you go back to verse 24, he kind of goes through this, and it doesn't state it specifically, but we can figure it out anyway. It says, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. And then it says in verse 25, the same manner he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Now, if we kind of take this a little bit different translation, we can kind of get this a little better. In the Message translation, it says, he says, let me go over with you again exactly what goes on in the Lord's Supper and why it is so centrally important. I receive, Paul says, my instructions from the Master himself, and I pass them on to you. And the Master, Jesus, on the night of his betrayal, took bread, and having given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me, or to remember me. And after supper, he did the same thing with the cup. This cup is my blood, my new covenant with you. And each time you drink this cup, remember me. So what are we remembering? Why did Jesus have to give his body? Why did Jesus have to shed his blood? That's the key to the whole thing. Why did he have to do that? Because of our sin. Because of our sin. The main reason we're here, and the main reason that we are in this church, and the main reason we are partaking of this memory meal, is to remember that Jesus saved us from our sins. We're sinners, every one of us. Jesus' body was broken for us. Jesus' blood was given for us because of our sin. Because of our sin. If you had never sinned, if I had never sinned, Jesus would never have had to go to the cross. How many of you have sinned? Okay, let me ask you again. How many of y'all have sinned? How many have sinned? Okay, if you didn't raise your hand, you're a liar, the Bible says, because the Bible says, you know, anyone who says they have not sinned is a liar. The truth is, every one of us have sinned. That is why Jesus went to the cross. That is why Jesus was broken for us. That is why he shed his blood for us. And that's why we are here to remember. That's why we are admonished before we partake of this meal to examine ourselves and to confess known sins and prepare ourselves. It's the reason for the cross. And we need to remember that this morning. Jesus died for you and died for me, and that's what we need to remember. You know, if there had not been any sin, Jesus wouldn't have even had to be born into this world. But because of the sin in our lives, he was born. And because of the sin in our lives, he did go to the cross and he did die. And because of that sin, we can now have the honor and the privilege of when we're convicted by the spirit of our sins, to turn from that sin and turn to him in belief and call upon him to save us, and we can come into a relationship with him where we can walk with him the rest of this life and for eternity. Well, another reason that we are having this meal is to remember, write it down, the person of the supper. The person, verse 23 says, I've received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. The Lord Jesus. Who are we remembering? We're remembering the Savior. We are remembering the Lord Jesus. Never forget the Savior. We are here this morning to remember the Savior because in the hustle and bustle of this world in which we live, we just get so busy that we forget all about Jesus sometimes. We forget about the Savior. We're so busy. School started now, and we go up there, and we're so busy running around at school and doing things and hanging out with our friends, and then we got football practice, or then we got cheerleading practice, or then we got this, and we're just busy, busy, busy. So this is a time where we come together and say, okay, we're putting all that aside, and we're going to remember Jesus. John Newton. John Newton was a great, great sinner. You don't hear a lot about that. John Newton was a murderer. John Newton was a dealer in human souls. John Newton was a great blasphemer. You could hear him for miles and miles across the ocean cursing God and cussing. He was a horrible man. But one day John Newton met Jesus, and Jesus became his Savior. And John Newton became a preacher and a great hymn writer. He wrote the number one hit song of all time. He really did. His song, and he wrote many songs, but he wrote the number one hit song. He did. And don't tell me he didn't, because it's a song that almost everyone, whether they're a Christian or not, if they hear it, they will recognize it and they can tell you the name of it. You know what it is. Amazing grace, how sweet the singing, the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. How many of y'all were looking on the board to try to find the words? The hymn book. How many of y'all didn't need that? We don't need that. Why? Because that's the number one hit song of all time. I guarantee you could go out and find somebody that had never even been into church, and they may not know the words, but they'll recognize the tune because it was on Star Trek movie, right? You know, when Mr. Spock died and they had his funeral. I couldn't figure that out. Bagpipes playing Amazing Grace for a Vulcan. I don't know. But anyway, you know, it's a song that I believe it really would be the number one hymn of all time. I think everybody, I don't care if you're contemporary, I don't care if you're what, you recognize that song. Well, you know, John Newton was a great man. But John Newton got old. And as he aged, some of us can relate to this, so did his memory. But he never forgot two things. And in the later days of his life, a friend asked him if he still had a bad memory. And this is what Newton said. I love this. He says, yes, I do, but I remember two things. I am a great sinner, and that I have a great Savior. And I don't suppose an old slave trader needs to remember much more than that. Isn't that great? We went to visit in the nursing home one time, and there was this little old lady, and all she did, she just kind of sit in her chair over in the corner, and she'd say this, I love Jesus, and Jesus loves me. I love Jesus and Jesus loves me. I love Jesus and Jesus loves me. And some of the kids were kind of making fun of her. And I told them, I said, guys, look, I want to be able to say that, Linda. I don't care. You know, everything else is not a big deal. But boy, I love Jesus and Jesus loves me. That's what we're here to remember. We are all great sinners. Praise God, we're here to remember we've got a great Savior. Hallelujah. And finally, we're here to remember the hope of the supper. Verse 26. For as often as you eat of the bread and drink of the cup, you do show the Lord's death. Here it is. Till He comes. Till He comes. We are to take this meal and we're to remember Jesus and what He did for us on the cross until He comes. When will that be? I don't know, but it's sooner today than it was yesterday. I heard this story about this servant, and she was a servant of these loving people that took her in and raised her, and she was their servant. And they were going off on a trip, and a friend of hers, her sister, came to visit her. And so her sister, they visited, and her sister was tired, and she says, I'm going to go lay down and rest. So she went and laid down, and when she got up, the servant had fixed a meal, a tea, they call it in England, and set everything out with the nice dishes and all of that. And she says, oh, is your master's, or are they coming home? And she says, I don't know. I haven't heard. The time is not certain. But I always have everything ready each day because I don't know when they're coming. And I thought about that, and I thought that was a lesson. Every day we need to be ready for Him to return. That great preacher of the Word, G. Campbell Morton, said, to me, the second coming is the perpetual light on the path which makes the present bearable. So many times things happen and we just don't know how we're going to be able to hold up and do it. But thinking about the second coming can make anything bearable. He said, I never lay my head on my pillow without thinking that maybe before the morning breaks, the final morning may have dawned. I never begin my work in the day without thinking that perhaps He may interrupt my work and with His coming. This is now His word to all believing souls. And He quotes this, till He comes. And that's what we're here this morning to remember. The soon return of our Lord Jesus Christ. And what about you? You know, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you may not be excited about remembering Him. I was working on my devotions I send out every day this week, and I was reading something that W.A. Criswell had said. He said something to the effect, I'm probably going to butcher it up because I don't have it here, but he said to the effect that if you do not know Jesus as your Savior here, and you don't love Jesus here, then why in the world would you even want to go to heaven? I mean, that's what you're going to do in heaven. You're going to love and worship and praise Jesus and work for Jesus, and He's going to be the focus and the center of your life. And if you don't like Him here, what makes you think you're going to like heaven at all? You won't even like heaven. And folks, I've known people. They didn't want to talk to me about Jesus. They didn't want anything to do with Jesus, Bradley. They didn't want anything to do with Jesus. Nothing. Don't talk to me about Jesus. I don't want to talk about Jesus. And then you say something about heaven. Oh, yeah, I believe I'm going to heaven because I'm good. And I thought, you're an idiot. You're not going to like heaven. You don't even like Jesus here. You're not going to like heaven. They're not going to like hell either, but, you know. So the point I'm trying to say here is, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you may not be too excited about remembering Him this morning. You have not accepted His payment for your sin, so all you think about when you think about your sin is guilt. Write it down. Jesus died on the cross for you. If you have not accepted His payment for your sins and made Him your Savior, you have no reason to think of Him as your Savior because He's not your Savior. You do not want to think about his soon return, because all that will bring to you is judgment and an eternity in hell. But it does not have to be this way. That's another thing we've already talked about and we're here to remember. Jesus Christ died on the cross. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants you to come to Jesus. And if you don't know Jesus, turn from your sins to Him today. Believe in Him and call upon His name, and you will be saved. You will be saved. You know, and I want to invite you to do that. We're going to have a time of invitation, and I invite you to come and talk to me if you need to about salvation. And Christian, you just may need to just spend this time of invitation praying, repenting, doing whatever you need to do. You don't want to just take this, lightly. But you need to spend time thinking about Jesus and remembering some of these things we've been talking about today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we come to this time of invitation, I pray that